Today, we are starting a new three-week series called Empowered, where we're going to be encountering and experiencing the Holy Spirit. A life empowered by the Holy Spirit is truly a life lived to the full, where we have a constant helper and guide in life, one that fills our life with hope and purpose, and most importantly, the presence of God. My desire is that this series would really help you to truly encounter the Holy Spirit, to live a life empowered by Him, which I believe has the power to change our lives, transform our lives, and live a life with Him. And so this week, we're going to be looking at who is the Holy Spirit and what impact can He have in our lives. Next week, we're going to be looking at what it means to walk with the Spirit, to experience the fruits of the Spirit in our life as we're empowered by Him. And finally, we're going to look at what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and how we can experience in Him. And so I'm excited for this series. And, you know, a lot of guys always ask me every week, are you nervous? Because I get antsy. If you ever see me, if you're around me, I just like tend to walk around like this all the time. And I'm like antsy. And this series in particular, I believe is going to be special in the next 3 weeks, because many of us can encounter Jesus, have a relationship with Him. But really, sometimes it can stop there. And we find ourselves being a part of this lifestyle where it's, I go to church, I read my Bible, and I pray, and that's it. But what we can learn is that Jesus has sent us the Holy Spirit that can be with us every single day of our lives, who can guide us and direct us and help us. It's a gift to given to us, the promise of God. And I'm really excited for this, because first time as a community, we're looking at what it means to be in relationship with Jesus, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, but then also allowing Him work in and through our lives and in and through our church. So can I just pray for a moment, and then we're going to begin. Lord, I thank You so much that when You died on the cross and You were resurrected and ascended to the Father, that You gave us the Holy Spirit. And I pray this morning for many of us who may have never heard of the Holy Spirit nor experienced the Holy Spirit. And God, I just pray that as I speak and as we look at Your word, God, that we would receive complete revelation about Your Holy Spirit, that it would truly change and transform our hearts, our minds, and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today is really a teaching, and I want to take these next few moments just to be able to share with you who the Holy Spirit is and where He's revealed in Scripture, and then what impact that He can have on our lives. So firstly, when we ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, He is one third of the Trinity. And the reason I say He is because the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a ghost or some crazy spirit flying around like Casper, like so many people think and wonder that He is. The Holy Spirit is a person. Let me briefly share with you about the Trinity. We believe as Christians and as a church that there is one God. And we serve one God. In fact, the first of the Ten Commandments says to serve the Lord your God and to serve no other God. So we serve one God. And God is one person and three persons. Oh, sorry. God is one and three persons all at the same time. So that means that He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So if you grew up in Catholic church and going to Mass, you would always have learned that every single week. And if you went to Catholic school, you'd learn that every single day. And the word Trinity, in fact, was never used in the Bible. But what we can see throughout Scriptures is that where we can read Scriptures that includes the three persons. When we read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says that He, Jesus in this instance, saw the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and settling upon Him, which is Jesus, the Son of God. And a voice from heaven, which is God the Father's voice, said, "This is my dearly loved Son." It's the first instance where we see God as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In fact, we read again in Matthew chapter 28, 19, where Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So here again, we see the Trinity, one God, three persons. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. Yeah. He is God. Secondly, where do we see him revealed in Scripture? Well, Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit to us in John, the book of John, chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus speaks and says that, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper," which is the Holy Spirit he's talking about here, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So here Jesus is talking in the days leading up to his crucifixion, his sacrifice upon the cross, in which we just celebrated as Good Friday. He's talking about dying on the cross for our sins, then being resurrected from the grave and ascending to the right hand of our Father, God the Father. But when he departs, when he leaves, he will leave the Helper, the Holy Spirit, for us. And he continues talking about this in John 16, verse 13 and 14. "However, when he," the Spirit of truth, "has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Now, this scripture is key because it gives us really an insight and understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and why Jesus has given him to us. This is key because Jesus says that he will not speak on his own authority, but on the authority of Jesus. Who he hears from and who he will speak in behalf of is Jesus. So as the Holy Spirit is in communication with us, he is speaking on behalf of Jesus. So when we are hearing from the Holy Spirit who resides in our spirit, we are hearing from Jesus. When we are in relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not in relationship with some distant God, some distant figment of our imagination, but we are in relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit who communicates to us. So that means that we can hear from him and he can speak to us and he can hear from us. So that means that when we give our lives to Jesus, when we say, "I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to give him my life," and we ask him to come into our life, his spirit takes up residence in our spirit. His spirit inhabits our spirit, and his spirit is then with us at all times. Therefore, we must allow the spirit to direct us and to guide us. He is our constant helper to help us in time of want and in time of need. In every season, in every battle, in every time in our life, both in trials and in triumph. So that means when we give our life to Jesus, in turn, he gives us his spirit, that he will be with us every single day of our lives. Now, when we truly get a revelation and understand it, this will change everything. Because now we have the Lord Jesus Christ, through his spirit, living and active in our life. That means that through him, that we can have a relationship where we hear and we speak to him. Now we have someone who can help us and guide us and direct us through life. And so to look at this further, we're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. If you've got your Bibles on your phones or with you, of course the scripture will be on the screen. And let me set the scene for you. In these moments leading up to this scripture, Jesus has died, the disciples have all scattered, and have pretty much gone back to their own lives. And they've just witnessed the murder of Jesus, their leader, the one in which they've been with for 3 years. And on the third day, Jesus then rises from the grave, appears to the disciples, and then they have their hope and their faith is restored. And all of a sudden, we see this new fire birth within the disciples, and immediately they want to start serving and preaching and going and spreading the word of God. But Jesus says that first they must wait, because they need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They need to be empowered. And we read in verse 3, it says, "During the 40 days after his crucifixion, Jesus appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. Again, here we see the Holy Spirit. He's being called the helper, the gift that was promised. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us from Jesus to help us and to guide us and direct us to walk in the ways of Jesus. Now, the question we may ask is, how do we receive this gift? How do we receive the gift in which God has promised to us? So in verse 5, Jesus says that John baptized with water, talking about water baptism. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So here we see that we receive the Holy Spirit through baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's how we receive the gift. That's how we possess the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're able to open the gift and enjoy the gift in our lives. But here Jesus is letting them know that very soon they're going to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit and that they are to expect it. So here he's talking about raising their expectations that God is going to do something great in and through their lives. The same way that he's causing us and calling us to raise our expectations so that we would truly believe that God is going to do something great in and through our lives. That this is not just it. That this is not just the end. That God wants to do something great in our lives. So we are to raise our expectations, believing that he's going to bring greatness in my life through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That we would raise our expectations that God is not just going to call me out of the world so that I may enter into religion, but he's calling me out of the world so that he may fill me with his Spirit to send me back into the world to be able to bring that into my home, my workplace, my community, and my work, a place of education, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he does this, and we see this, in order to empower us with his power, not our power. He does this to empower us to receive the gift in our lives. So in verse 6, I love this because when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Completely not in line with the conversation that Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, so like many of us. Jesus is trying to communicate to us, and we're off here trying to have a conversation about something completely else. And he says in verse 7, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. So the disciples, they're asking Jesus these questions because they're expecting Jesus to restore the kingdom of Israel and free them from Roman oppression. But Jesus is saying, I've not come to restore a worldly kingdom, but to set up my own kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. He said, it's not for you to know the dates and times. And so many of us, we can get caught up in saying, when God? When's it going to happen? When am I going to see change? When are you going to do this? And God's saying, don't even be concerned with those things. What you need to be concerned with is what he says in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is saying, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem just yet. In other words, I don't want you to just go about your work doing it by your strength, but I want you to wait until you're filled with the Holy Spirit so that you would do it by my power in my way so that I can send you as my witnesses. So many of us, we get caught up and I want to go do when God says, no, you need to wait and be so that you can be filled with my Spirit so that you can go and do in my name. And so this shows us that once we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive a power that surpasses all other power. He shows us here that the Holy Spirit empowers our life, where we receive this incredible power through the Holy Spirit. So a few days later, we see that the helper, the Holy Spirit, arrives. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. They're waiting in expectation in what we know is the upper room, 120 people gathered together, waiting to receive what Jesus has talked to them about. And in verse 2, it reads, suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, this is incredible. Because not only did it sound like it was outside the room, but this wind filled the room in which they were in and it caught their attention. The wind was to signify the powerful influence that the Spirit can have on our lives and in our lives, where His Spirit can fill our lives in such a powerful way where it can influence every area of our lives. So that the power of the Holy Spirit is something that moves, something that fills and occupies our space once we give it to Him. And verse 3, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. What we see is their lives were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it directly affected their lives by affecting their speech, their language, and their words. And so in our third week together, on May 19th, we're going to be looking at the effects of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and the power, the impact that it can have on our lives. And we're going to be looking at speaking in other languages and speaking in tongues and look at all of those areas. But what we need to come back to, the central focus, is what we see is the Holy Spirit filled our lives like a wind filling the house. Not only that, but it literally set them on fire for God. It literally set them on fire for God. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it directly impacted their lives in such a way where it changed their behavior. It changed their speech. It changed now how they viewed life. It changed how they used their words. It changed everything about their lives, and they became on fire for God. Now, why is fire in this instance, in this regard, noted? Well, fire symbolizes God's purifying presence. I love this quote. It says, His fire burns away the undesirable elements of our lives and sets our hearts aflame to ignite the lives of others. That our heart's desire should not just to be lukewarm. That our heart's desire should not just to be okay with God. To just be a Christian and go to church, but to be on fire for God. Where we receive this fire inside of us that ignites a passion in our hearts that burns away all of our worries, our selfish thoughts, and fills us with a burning passion for Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples became on fire for God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and became on fire for Him. And one man in particular, his life was forever changed. The disciple Peter, known as one of the closest disciples to Jesus. And he walked into that upper room, really feeling quite depleted as his confidence was knocked because of his denial of Jesus just a few weeks earlier. We see that when Jesus was being taken to be crucified, that Peter was this courageous man who sliced off the ear of an army officer in protecting Jesus, to then all of a sudden becoming a man lurking in the shadows, denying that he had anything to do with Jesus. But in that upper room, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, we see this miraculous change happen as he walks out of that upper room, a fearless preacher declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what we read is that we see in the streets that's been filled with people who have witnessed this great act and have seen this great change happen in the disciples, and they begin asking, what is going on? What is happening? And Peter stood up fearlessly and preached the gospel, preached about Jesus Christ. For the very first time, we see in a public instance, not just Jesus, but someone filled with the Holy Spirit preaching about Jesus. And we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 people in all. You see, the Holy Spirit has the power to take the most insecure, incompetent, and insignificant people in the world, fill us with His Spirit, fill us with His fire, fill us with His power, and use us to do great things for Him. What an incredible God we serve. That it's not about us getting to a certain place in life. It's not about us having to measure up to a certain point. But He takes even the least of us, the worst of us, and once we give our life to Jesus, He fills us with something that we could never attain on our own. He fills us with His Spirit. Jesus tells us in John 14, 12, I tell the truth, anyone who believes in Me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You see, it's with the Holy Spirit and because of the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to do great things and even greater works. It's with the Holy Spirit who empowers us in life. You with me here today? So with this in mind, I'm building somewhat of a foundation of who the Holy Spirit is and the impact that he can have in our life. I want to share deeper in what the impact, the powers of the Holy Spirit can have on our lives. So I want to share with you three effects of the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. Three effects of the Holy Spirit. Firstly, the Holy Spirit equips. He equips us. He equips us for life. He equips us for battles. He equips us for every single day. And we see in Acts chapter 2, really the upper room and this moment was the birth of the church in which we are part of today. It was a group of people who had been founded in the words and the following after Jesus Christ. Now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see that the church did not grow or begin out of some strategic awareness or careful planning or intelligent and creative marketing. Thankfully, that's not how the church began. But it began because the disciples were equipped by God's Holy Spirit. We see that Peter, as he was equipped by the Holy Spirit to preach God's word, the disciples in turn were equipped to bring people to repentance and baptize 3,000 people. And then, as we read on, we see that they were equipped to take care of one another, to teach one another about Jesus and how to live and how to follow him. They were equipped to pastor others, to be in community together, and to begin the greatest move of God that our world has ever seen. And that was what grew the church. That was what equipped the people for life. The Holy Spirit equips us. But in order to be equipped, we need to receive his power because we cannot do it by our own power. You see, no matter how much knowledge or gifts or talents we may have, unless we have the Holy Spirit, we will never accomplish anything great for his glory. Without his power filling our lives, Paul, or St. Paul as many know him, said in 1 Corinthians 10:38, 1, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. In other words, everything that we do as a parent, as a spouse, as a friend, or in our career, our education, do it all for the glory of God. That you may be feeling inadequate, you may be feeling unable, but with the Holy Spirit, he takes and uses even the unqualified, the unintelligent, the unimportant, the unpopular people, and fills us with his Holy Spirit and his power and equips us to carry out his works, to do whatever we do for the glory of God. Matthew Henry, a great scholar, he said, Christ's witnesses shall receive power for that work to which he calls them. Those whom he employs in his service, he will qualify for it and will bear them out in it. Jesus does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He equips his people for the works in which he is calling them to for his glory. Jesus calls us, he chooses us, he fills us with his Spirit, and he equips us and fills us with the power to be his witnesses. It is the Holy Spirit who equips us to do all we do with his power for his glory. Secondly, the Holy Spirit empowers. And we've been talking about this throughout, and we will talk about this throughout our series, that the Holy Spirit empowers. Again, in Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit's work demonstrated that Christianity is supernatural. Christianity is supernatural. We do the natural. But when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, he releases the supernatural. That we do all that we can do, and then he does what only he can do. He tells us to obey him. He tells us to believe in him. He tells us to have trust, to have faith, and then he will do all that he can do. That he can provide for us, that he can perform miracles, that we can see the supernatural happen in our lives, in our church. We can see sickness healed. We can see miracles happen, lives changed, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, without the power of the Holy Spirit, our church becomes an institution. Our relationship with Jesus becomes our religion. Our following after him becomes legalistic values, morals, and do's and don'ts, because it's without the power of the Holy Spirit, it is just the natural. But when our church and our people and our lives are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden we go from this place of in the natural seeing God do the supernatural, where we see, I've come to the place of I do all I can do, and then that's where we see God move in and through our lives. I'm today have prepared a word for you today. I've sat with God, I've studied his word, and I am now doing all that I can do, and I believe that God's going to do what he can do in the supernatural to touch your heart, to touch your life, and to impact you in such a way that it changes your life. You have the power to do the same, that you do what you can do in the natural with your children, with your friends, with your family, with your spouse, with your colleagues, in your community, through your study of the word, through you spending time with God. You do in the natural and you see God do the supernatural, where he breaks out in people's lives in such a way where the prayers that you've been praying are answered, because we see through the power of the Holy Spirit, God answers his prayers in a supernatural way, that he empowers us by filling us with his Spirit. And we see that the effect of the Holy Spirit on 120 people, it empowered a group of people to hold nothing back, to preach the gospel, make disciples, and begin a movement that would continue on for 2,000 years in such a way that it empowered a group of people like us to continuing following Jesus and see him work in and through our lives. And we can experience the same upper room experience in our church, in our lives, in every single day, when we receive the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be drawing this out next week, looking at being empowered by this Spirit, experiencing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, and what it means and what it looks like to walk with the Spirit. But finally, one of my favorite points about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit excites. Where there is the Holy Spirit, there is movement, there is growth, and there is excitement. That he gives us the motivation and the energy and the ability to live the life in which God has intended us to live. As Jesus said in John 10:10, to live life to the fullest, as Jesus said, that I have come that they, you, us, me and you, may have life and have it to the full. You see, a life lived with the Holy Spirit is an exciting life. It can be a life that's lived with to the full. And what I love about the first few chapters in Acts and throughout is we can see that the church became Holy Spirit conscious, not problem conscious. Instead of focusing on all of life's problems, and look, listen, there is so much time and effort that we could focus on problems in life, but we can get so caught up in that. We can get so caught up in the minutiae and the details of all of problems in life. But God says, I want you to focus on me. I want you to focus on Jesus. I want you to be Holy Spirit conscious, focused on what he can do. And all of a sudden, the problems begin fading away because we become more full of him and less of us. We become more full of the Holy Spirit and less of the problems in life. In fact, what happens is he equips us and he empowers us to be able to deal with life's problems, but it begins first with us focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit. We see in Acts, everything else became secondary. Imagine what our church would look like if we were to apply this. Imagine what our lives would look like if we were to apply this. Were we truly focused by placing our trust in God, believing that he will make my path straight, believing that he will direct me through this difficulty, believing that he will comfort us through every stronghold, that he will give us strength through every struggle, and that he will give us hope and peace and joy and salvation. That he would not just equip us, that he would not just empower us, but he would bring excitement into our lives, where it can be a joy to follow Jesus, where church can be a place to be enjoyed, not to be endured, where we can follow after Jesus and live life to the full, where we experience great excitement in our life, excitement in our church, where we can have an expectation that this is not just it, that our problems should not be our focus, our problems should not be the things that get us down and wind us down, but rather we should be focused on Jesus and the power of him moving in and through our lives. And maybe, just maybe, he could do something with us. Where we could see Jesus do great things in and through us, all for the glory of God. I'm going to invite the worship team back up as we get ready to finish. And I want to finish with this point. The Holy Spirit completely transformed the disciples' lives, completely and totally. And it set the church, as we know it, the local church, on a trajectory that would change the world forever. I want to ask you a question today. Are you feeling empowered? Do you feel empowered in life? Do you feel empowered in every area of your life? Are you feeling full of faith? Or are you feeling full of fear? Can you see Jesus working in and through your life in such a way where you're seeing the works of Jesus work in your life? Or have you got caught up in such religion and legalism because you've been doing it by your power and not by his? Maybe today you're feeling more full of weakness than strength. Maybe you're feeling inadequate where you've tried so hard. You've tried so much to do it by your power and it hasn't worked. No matter what you do, you keep falling back into that bad habit. No matter what you do, you keep falling back into that destructive thinking. Then no matter what you do, you keep falling back into using your words to bring death over yourself and over others. I want to encourage you today that there is hope. There is hope. There is an opportunity for you come to a place where you say, enough is enough, I'm surrendering. I've done it by my power and it hasn't worked. God, would you fill me with your power? And in this moment, I receive the Holy Spirit. Would you lead me in every area of my life? I want to encourage you today. Allow him to equip you for life. Allow him to empower you to go and to serve and to lead and to love and to live your life. Allow him to bring excitement into your life where you laugh once again, where you have joy in life, even in the midst of problems and troubles. This message of the gospel of grace of Jesus Christ is not one in which he takes your problems away, but he equips you for your troubles and your battles and your problems. I want to encourage you that you can find joy and excitement even in the midst of that. Even in the midst of a day where it's not like today where it's sunny out. It's a day that's cloudy and it's dark and it's rainy and you feel damp and you feel cold. And even in that, he can bring excitement into your life where you're not allowing your excitement to be determined by your outer circumstances, what you see in the physical, but inside the power of your spirit, just like you experience and feel like the wind outside is having an influence on your exterior. Instead, the wind is having a powerful influence in your interior, inside, in your heart, in your life. Hey, would you close your eyes with me for a moment? I want you to ask the question right now. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me through this message? What are you wanting to reveal to me? What are you wanting to say to me? Allow him to show you how you can apply what you've heard to your life, to your thinking, to your actions and your words. And I know there's many here today that you've never engaged even in asking and hearing. Maybe you're here today and your mind has become so cloudy and so clogged up that the only voices you're hearing in your head is the voices of lies, the voices of condemnation, the voices of of shame and guilt. But if you tune in, there's another voice described as a still small whisper, and that voice is the voice of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, forget the other voices. He's saying, drown out everything else and hear my voice. And he speaks love and he speaks grace. And at times he can speak challenging and convicting things to our heart, reveal things in us that we need to change. But it's filled with grace and love. It's filled with the place of someone who's for us, not against us. With everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I know there's many here today where you need to not only hear that voice in your life, you need to allow that voice have the voice of authority in your life. And it begins with you giving your life to Jesus, where his Holy Spirit can take a residence in your heart, in your spirit. What I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. So with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, what I'm going to do, and I can just sense there's so many of you here today that you know that this is you. This is just between you and God. No one's going to looking at you, calling you out. Just between you and him. And what I want to do is I'm just going to count to three, and those of you saying, I need to give my life to Jesus, I want you just to raise your hand high. Why I'm asking you to do that, because it's a moment that you can look back at. It's a moment that you know, I give my life to him. I'm surrendering all to him. So right now, prepare that in your hearts to give your life to Jesus. And raise your hand after one, two, three. Just raise your hand and where you are and say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, and you can put down your hand, can we just pray this very, very simple prayer together? And say, Jesus, I give you my life. I've got sin in my life and I need your forgiveness. Today I choose to follow you. I believe that I am forgiven, that I am set free, and by your grace I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God, we thank you for those who are giving their lives to you for the very first time. I pray, God, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, to direct them and guide them, lead them every day of their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can we just stand as we get ready to finish with one song of worship? Today, if that was you today and you either gave your life to Jesus for the very first time or you're making a recommitment to him, I want to encourage you on those connect cards that we talked about earlier. You can just tick on that. There's a box saying, I'm giving my life to him or renewing my life. Commitment to Jesus. We'd love you to just tick that box, fill out your information, because we want to contact you this week and send you an email inviting you to come and meet us and be able to help you in your walk with Jesus. But also, you can just drop by our Connect area, take up a Bible if you haven't got one. They're free, they're for you to help you. And just begin reading. Start reading in the New Testament. Just begin reading about Jesus, learning about him, growing in him, and finding out more about him. But as we get ready to finish in this time of worship, believing that the Spirit of God is here and in this place. There's a scripture that says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Maybe even as I've been speaking, maybe you found, that there isn't freedom in your heart. That you've become bondaged by the shame and guilt, and you've convinced yourself that it can't change, it won't change, it won't happen to me. And I will encourage you, the Spirit of the Lord is here. He's here. And he's available to you. This is the time. This is the moment. There's no other moment coming. There's no going to be any greater moment. There's not going to be any. This is it. At times it can feel cold. It can feel normal. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you feel comfortable enough, would you just put out your hands in front of you, just as an indication that, God, we're open to you right now. Lord, I pray that you would fill our lives with your Spirit. Hey, what? Maybe there's a miracle that you're praying for today. Maybe you're praying for healing. Maybe you're praying for freedom. Maybe you're praying for salvation in your home, in your life, in your family. Why don't you just begin to pray for that right now? because we believe that miracles can happen, not because of our might, not because of our faith, but because of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, miracles can happen. Change can happen. Transformation can happen. Just like that day, 120 people gathered in a room. The Spirit of the Lord filled that place and the fire of God fell in their lives and filled their lives. And in fact, their lives were completely changed. God, I pray right now that you would fill us with your Spirit. I pray right now that we become on fire for you in such a way that you would burn away the undesirable elements of our life, that you would purify our minds, purify our hearts, purify our spirits. In Jesus' name, we declare that your goodness, your freedom reigns in our lives, and we're going to worship you and declare your name in Jesus' name.